Not unto us, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And as we celebrate our 72nd anniversary, we declare that all the glory and honor and credit goes to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done in this church. Let's praise him together in prayer, if you would. Father, as we set aside this church anniversary and we look back and remind ourselves of your faithfulness to the people of Worth Baptist Church, we say that everything that's good that's happened in this place traces back to you and your work and your hand. We recognize this morning that you have made us, you have loved us, you have saved us out of our lostness and our guilt and our sin and our shame, and you have gathered us together in this faith family we call Worth Baptist Church. And as we think back on all that has been done, we are reminded of the fact that you have saved every soul. You have fixed every broken marriage. You have mended every broken heart. Your Son has been our theme. Your word has been our guide. Your spirit has been our power. And your glory has been our goal. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in 72 years. And we humbly pray that you would continue to bless and use us as your people in Fort Worth. And Father, we are full of anticipation about this morning's worship service. We pray that you would do a real work in the heart of every person here. And if someone here does not know Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray that as this beautiful gospel message is given and they see their need for Christ and a need for forgiveness, that they might choose to place their faith and trust in him and be gloriously saved today. We pray that all of your people will be full of joy and celebration at their part in this story that you've been telling for all of these many years, and that today we would be challenged and that we would recommit to continue to be a people of faith and to do all that you are calling us to do in this moment and in the moments to come. What you do today, we will give you the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are honored today to have Dr. Willie Weaver as our special speaker for our anniversary Sunday. Of course, Dr. Weaver was pastor here at Worth Baptist Church for over 19 years. And during those years, he led the church in several visionary ways, remodeling this beautiful auditorium, founding the mission conference, beginning many of the ministries that continue to bear fruit to this day. Of course, right by his side over the years has been Mrs. Weaver, and we're so thankful for her ministry. She is the picture of Christian grace and faithfulness to God. We're so thankful for all she has done for us over the years. Amen. It's real, yeah, amen, amen. For the last 10 years, Dr. Weaver has served as our pastoral evangelist, traveling all across the country preaching God's word. And when he's not out preaching, he's right here teaching the auditorium Sunday school class and continuing to bless us with the gifts that God has given him. We're so glad we get to serve the Lord alongside the Weavers, and he is going to come with a Bible message here in just a moment.
You have your Bible? Raise it up. Not your phone, your Bible. No. Look at the Bibles. Just look around. Isn't that a great sight? Amen. This is a Bible-believing church. So I have my four parallel version up here today, and I'm going to go to the NIV. No, I'm not going to go to the NIV. No doubt about it, I'm in the King James Version, amen? And that's a whole nother message, series of messages, I would say, on that. I want to speak to you today about turning our faces, our minds, our hearts toward God's house. Turn to Psalm 122, if you will. Psalm 122, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Psalm 122, 1 through 9. I enjoyed the slide presentation of, I don't know if they call them slides now, the video presentation. And I think we need, we had three ugly looking men up there one time. You remember that one scene? You know what I think would be good to add in that pastor next year is our wives. Ms. Barber and Carolyn and Tori, and it would be a lot prettier presentation. Well, that was good, and I thank the Lord for it. All right, let's read Psalm 122, and we'll start with verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How about you? Amen. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. And then verse 9, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. David was saying, it's good to go to church. That's what he was saying in the Old Testament way. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad we have a good church today. When we go back, we saw just a brief history of it, and there, that doesn't tell nearly all that was involved in it. That beginning of the church, and now 72 years. And I want to tell you, that's a miracle in today's culture, that a church can stay together and be strong for 72 years. Most of them split and splinter and fight and all of that during that period of time. But God has been good to this church. And God has some good people here, not perfect, but good people who love the Lord, who want to do the Lord's will. The psalmist said in 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Well, let's go back. Dr. R.J. Barber was a sower. He started it with the leadership of God. We won't spend a lot of time there because you've heard it before in Dr. Barber's presentation. But John 4:36 says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal or life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Somebody had to start it off. And thank God there was a vision in the heart and mind of Dr. R.J. Barber. And he worked hard. You can believe that. It's not easy to start a church. I don't know of anybody in here in the auditorium today maybe that has started a church. There probably are some. But I'm telling you, it isn't easy to start a church. It took a lot of faith, a lot of work, a lot of tears, a lot of sowing. And then a lighthouse was built. And God has used it over these years. God moved him to do that. I'm looking forward maybe someday when I get to heaven. And I'd like to sit down with Bob Barber and just talk to him and say, fill me in with all the details. Just tell me what all did happen when the church was started. I'm sure it would be extremely interesting. And then some reapers came along following him. Dr. Raymond Barber, thank God for him. The foundation was laid, and then Dr. Barber took the baton. There was growth. The church enlarged. He led them in buildings and relocating. That took faith. That took vision to leave that place and come over here. Probably some of the people didn't want him to do that, but he knew that's what God wanted done and got it done, and people were behind him. Dr. Barber is a celebrity status, really, for this church, the IBFI, Independent Baptist Fellowship International, and the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary, and hundreds of preachers, because of his vision, his leadership, hundreds of preachers are in the ministry today, and many Hundreds of souls have been saved because of these guys going out and starting churches and preaching, and then they have to have some replacements. Us old guys have to get out of the way a little bit. And then God sends some younger men in to take the reins, and Brother Gillett and I have been benefactors of some of the work that these other men have done, and we're thankful for that. And I thank God now that God is blessing this church.
Amen.
Over $1 million, I believe, finally reached that in missions. I always hoped that we would. I was always wanting to see it happen. And Faith Promise Missions, God blessed. Before that, Dr. Barber led them in missions. They gave, I think, 20% of their total income to missions, all of the income that came in. Missionaries all over the world, because God has blessed this church in its multifaceted ministries. We have added some ministries, and the pastor has added some, and I'm behind all of them. They're good. And we had Mrs. Yackel. I said it right. Where are you? Yackel. I said it right. We had Mrs. Yackel come and speak at 29ers the other day, a new ministry with the unwed mothers and all that. Thank God some of them are saved. Some of them are probably here right now. New ministries that pastor has led this church in, and I'm glad that he has. And God has sustained and blessed this ministry all of these 72 years, and I believe he's going to continue to do it. Amen?
Amen.
But let's focus for a moment on God's house. What happens at God's house? I was glad, verse 1 said, that they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. God ordained the church. This is God's organization. It's a living organism, really. It's part of the body of Christ. It is the church of the living God. And I'm glad we can come to church. And what do we get? We get preaching. We get preaching. People don't even look at their watches, do they? Or their telephones to see when he's going to quit. By the way, I got a late start, so don't bug me later. All right? I see a lot of people, they ought to say, I was sad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. And some look like they are sad, like it's, you know, but everybody doesn't have the same disposition or demeanor. But we ought to be glad to go to church.
Amen.
All my life I've been in church. I've never known what it was to be outside of the church. As far back as my memory will take me, it's a place for preaching the Word of God,
right,
proclaiming this book, not psychology and all the others, but to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
You know what Jeremiah preached? He preached the Word of God.
Right.
We know he did. He preached God's Word. And Jesus, when he would preach in a house of God or a synagogue, and he would preach the Word of God. God's preachers and God's prophets have delivered the word. There was a purpose in it. It should be that way. I wouldn't give you a dime for all the churches in the world, no matter how beautiful their edifices are or how much money they have in the bank, if they don't preach the word of God. And a lot of them are preaching a lot of other things today. You may not know that because you come to church regularly. Amen. You ought to be here. But you can hear about what goes on for some of these others. We thank God that the Word of God is delivered here. We have terms today like the emerging church and the progressive church and the center seeker church and so on and so forth. I do like the Center Seeker Church more than I do the other kind. But thank God we have experience, and that experience comes from the Word of God. And I'm glad that our church is not liberal. I'm glad that we don't have a liberal church and that our doctrine is still correct. When Paul was writing Timothy, he wrote about doctrine. Keep it straight. That which was delivered to the apostles, and keep that going and teach men, and then they teach others and they teach others. And here we are today with people who have taught and preached the Word of God. We don't preach a man-centered prosperity doctrine. You can get on television, hear all you want of that. God wants you to be happy and healthy and wealthy, and to have a Rolex on your wrist, and to have a beautiful car, maybe a Rolls Royce in your garage. And if you'll just go to church and put God first and all, you'll have all of those things. Friend, that's a joke. Don't believe that. Every once in a while, so I'll tell you who gets all that money. Never mind. But at any rate, God is not trying to make you happy. He's not just trying to make you healthy or wealthy. God is trying to make us holy. And the way we get holy is by preaching the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God has a purpose. And we know it. I'm glad that around here we get preaching. I'm glad our preacher preaches the Word of God. He's a good preacher. He's embarrassed. He's right now, he's turning red. He's so embarrassed. But he knows, because hopefully we tell him often enough, hey, you're a good preacher. That was a good message. I tell him that so often, I almost feel fakeish about it. But I feel like I ought to go up and tell him when it's a good message, and it always is. Preaching the Word of God. And he preaches the Word from this pulpit. And most anybody he has in here preaches it. I may be the exception, but at any rate, the guys he has that come in here, they're not going to preach all that other malarkey. They're going to preach the Word of God. And thank God for it. He's not going to open the pulpit to them. And then another thing, when we come to church, and I'm glad we can, for praising God. We've had a time today to praise God. We assembled together. That's good. And God wants us to come and assemble together. He's taught us that, especially in these last days. And we come and we have praise, and we have thanksgiving, and we have prayer. We have gratitude. We have adoration. We see all of this. Did you know we bring God sacrifices every Sunday when we come and sing and praise Him? We give Him the sacrifices of praise. We don't have to bring a dove or a lamb or anything. He says that your praise is like a sacrifice unto me. So praise Him and sing to the glory of God and come together. God is pleased when we do that. Very pleased about it. 1 Chronicles 23 and 25, they had wonderful festival services. They were great services, and they celebrated. You can go back and read it. We don't have time, but they had that. Music was primarily the only art that Israel ever cultivated, the whole nation of Israel. They loved to sing. From their beginning until their end, they loved to sing. You can read about it in the Bible. And they sang the songs of Moses and the songs of the Lamb. And now we are given Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, that's Jesus, saying, great and marvelous are thy works. Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. They're praising God. Verse 4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Question mark. For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. I'm glad we can do that at our church. I heard about a church that sent out a mailer a while back, sometime back, and they were really letting everybody know, we're not going to ask you for money, we're not going to visit you. In one of the statements they said in there, we're not going to sing the old hymns of the faith and play an organ. I thought, how pitiful how pitiful that would be. Thank God for the old hymns of the faith. And I'm glad they're still included here. We've had a few new courses that have been presented to us, and they're good. Pardon me, they're scriptural. And that's good to have something new, but don't forsake the old. Thank God for a church that still sings some of the songs like we sang this morning. Praises unto the Lord. God enjoys it. God's people sing. The reason people don't sing is they're not right with the Lord. Now, you may have laryngitis. You know, some of the most embarrassing times for me in my life have been when I talked to a guy before church. and he couldn't hardly talk. He had laryngitis. And then like a dummy, I got up here and I said, Mr. Jones, would you lead us in prayer? Same man. And he's looking at me like, are you kidding me? But listen, if all you can do is grunt, grunt, just sing praise unto God. The psalmist said in 101, the psalm of praise, make a joyful noise. Aren't you glad that's there? Unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? Singing. Sometimes you sit up here and you see, we see it all, don't we, preacher? And you see everybody singing. And then you look out there and you see some dud that's just not singing at all. It's like they're looking and counting the lights. Boy, you're missing a privilege to sing praises to Almighty God. And by the way, I sort of think he's looking on. I believe he knows what's going on right here, right now. I believe he does. So if you can't do anything but growl, just growl to the glory of God. Pat your foot, clap your hands. I see some people getting a little out of hand around here, you know. We'll sing in heaven. Did you know that? David invented all those instruments, had them made. The Levites introduced music in the sanctuary. The Levites were numbered. David planned the choir and the music and the program for the temple, I believe, primarily. 30 years of age and upward were serving 38,000 Levites. He divided them into separate ministries, 24,000 to help the priest or the preacher, 6,000 judges, 4,000 doorkeepers and porters, 4,000 trained to sing and play. Must have been important. He had that many. And they sang in the morning and they sang in the evening, singing, praising, adoring, worshiping God. I'd love to have been there for that occasion. Before David died, he included those that were 20 and up. And they say the choir at some point while they were singing could have been as much as 6,000 singing the praises of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 25:1. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, who should prophesy, notice that, should prophesy with harps and psalteries and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was that many, as he mentioned. Thank God that was part of it. To prophesy, I think that our song should be doctrinally correct and biblically correct. And many of them sing, we sing songs like songs that talk about the second coming of Christ. Isn't that great? We're prophesying, telling everybody, hey, he's coming again. And maybe he's coming soon. Maybe morning, maybe night and noon, hopefully soon. We know he's coming again. We're singing. We're inspired. We're playing. The playing is inspired. Thank God for our musicians. Amen. And our soloists and our quartets. I don't know why they didn't include me this morning, but at any rate, I guess because I was preaching. But at any rate, why are you laughing? But at any rate, thank God for musicians and soloists and people that are involved in the music ministry. You can read about that. Again, I don't have time to read these verses. 1 Chronicles 25:6-7. I think sometimes musicians are unappreciated. I thank God for Madeline. Madeline, you've been here about 60 years, hadn't you? A long time. Oh, no. That was David. But at any rate, you've been here a long time. And, you know, a pianist, just a harp turned sideways, and she gets those little things and hits them on the right strings, and it sure does sound good. I love to watch her just so. And if I was going to play, that's the way I would play it. But I don't play. But thank God she does that. Hits those strings with those little hammers and all the good music. And in that, it said all that were cunning, skillful. David placed a novice sometimes with those who were skilled so they could learn to sing better. I'm glad for that. Turn to Psalm 150 right quick. Psalm 150. And just listen to what's involved in this. A summary of what worship was. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with and that wasn't a hoochie-coochie kind of dancing, by the way. It was a godly dance. Praise him with the dance. Where was I before I got this way? The timbrel and the dance, and praise him with the stringed instrument and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord with music and all of these things. I'm glad we still have good music. There's praise involved in verse 1 and even the dance, not that other kind, but a rejoicing. The idea is having the feeling, the movement, the power of God that is there. So happy that you just can't contain yourself. It's just overflowing. You come to church and what a thrill it is, and you're just happy in the Lord. Amen. And that's good for us to do. David made sure that was done back then. A lot of churches, I don't go to a lot of other churches, obviously. I have been to some on vacation, just pick one out and go. But I want to tell you, some of them, they're almost like nighttime. They could bury them in a mausoleum. I mean, they're dead. Dead as last year's bird nest. They're just dead. And I tell you, if you don't know when you got it, have some emotion, you can lose it and not even know you lost it. Amen? I like the old country guy said, when I go to church, I want to feel something. Well, I do too. You say, wait a minute, now you're getting Pentecostal on us. No, it's all right to feel something. We ought to. We need to have inspired services that move our heart, and I thank God we do. You know, that's a little rehearsal for heaven, by the way. We're going to sing and worship God there and praise him. So preaching, praise, and then... pardon me, prophesy. Usual Bible meaning is the way that it is used. Proclaiming and speaking out. Confronting people with the Bible, confronting them with the gospel. This is a gospel preaching church. Tell about the Lord and invite them to Jesus. Listen, friend, if you're here today and you've never been saved, let me tell you, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You probably know that. You're a sinner. And Jesus took your place on the cross. He died in your place. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you again today that if you'll come to Christ today, if you're lost and you don't know you're going to heaven, he will save your soul. When I was a 9-year-old lad in a little country church on a Sunday night in an invitation, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you're lost, young man. And he said, you need to go forward and get saved. And no doubt he'll speak to somebody like that here today. We have a choice. I stepped out into the aisle, went forward, and received Christ as my Savior. And I'm so thankful to God that I did. Now, I had my sins washed away, all of them, past, present, and future. And I thank God for that. And so we proclaim the gospel. We speak out. We'll never reach people just by going to church and looking at the preacher. We've got to get out, not be passive. We've got to witness. We've got to tell people about the church, get them in the church, let him preach the gospel to the people in the church. It should be that way. It should be a shared devotion, by the way. All of the members, a shared commitment. All of us who are members of this church should be committed to that. What can I do? Ask. And do whatever you can do. Share in the word. You may be a greeter. If you can smile and shake hands, that's good. Whatever the task may be. I want to tell you, there's something for everybody. I mean, everybody. And it may not all be on Sunday morning. It may be happening on evangelism outreach or whatever it is. There's plenty for all of us to do, and we need to be faithful in doing it. A shared devotion and commitment as a church to keep this church going and going, sharing in that ministry. It's not just the preacher's job. It's not just a staff worker's job. It's not just those things. It's church attendance and serving God. By the way, some did some visuals of the graft, and they showed as people attended church, when it went up and the church was higher, more people got saved and more people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you ought to be faithful to church. If church attendance is up, then souls are saved. More souls are saved. And if not, the black line goes down. So we need to do that and realize that. And then we can have as many people as we want. Did you know that? How many people do we want at this church? Numbers is not the main thing, but we've got to not just want them, we got to go after them. You can want and want and want until you do something about it. We have to be actively involved telling people about Jesus and our church and getting them here. Go after them, invite them. And then when they come, they can hear a gospel message. We can have as many people as we want if we go after them. It's not because people are hard to reach. That's maybe a little part of it, but it's because not enough people are going out to reach those people. There are a lot of people who get saved if somebody would just knock on the door or visit them in their yard on a Saturday. The future is unlimited for the church. And then very quickly, it's a place of prayer. We had a prayer meeting a while ago. That was good. I liked that. I enjoyed it. Matthew 20:13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. A house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Jesus was quoting Isaiah 56:7. You see, we can't do without prayer. We can't do without God. We've got to have God's power. If we don't have God's power, nothing good is going to happen. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We've got to elevate him. We've got to give him praise. And we've got to pray his power on this work and continue to do it. All of the plans, all of the programs, all of the efforts of this church will be dust and ashes without the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate the pastor saying all glory goes to Jesus. Amen. All glory goes to him. Amen. And I'm thankful that that is his mindset and his heart. We pray for people with physical problems, shut-ins. Somebody says, well, all I can do is pray. Are you kidding me? Pray? One of the most powerful things in the world, to be able to pray. It is God who moves the lost. It is God who convicts the saved. It is God who gives success. But we're the ones who need to pray. Amen. God will do the rest. We're praying. God will give the money, the expansion, all of those things. God will give the people. God will give enough for you to preach to in both services. And all of the workers that are needed. God will take care of that. We want God to move in our services. We want to feel God's presence. We want to see God do something. God has blessed all of these 72 years. Let's continue. What do you say to be a church like that? One that preaches where there's preaching. One that praises where God is glorified. And every time we come into these doors and sing praises, we give him a sacrifice of praise. And we prophesy, we witness, and we pray and ask God to bless. Would you stand, please? Our heads are bowed. And here's our invitation. If God should lead you, it would be nice if some of you came to the altar and said, God, thank you for what you've done. And make a fresh rededication and recommitment to God and say, God, by your grace, I'm going to do what I should do in serving, praying, and asking God to continue to bless this work. It'll only be done because of his blessings. There's someone here maybe who's not saved, friend. I'm telling you, there's nothing like coming to Christ and being born again, knowing you're going to heaven. You can be saved today. That's what our church is. We're not a museum of relics for people to come look at. We're a soul-winning station, a soul-saving station, a hospital for those that are lost. And if you don't know for sure, hear me now. Hear me on this statement. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you're not 100% for sure, come today and we'll be glad to have somebody show you. You won't be embarrassed. And Jesus said, if you'll not deny me before men, I won't deny you before my Father. I hope some unsaved people will come. And here, the last part of the appeal, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And listen, dear friend, it's not a good thing to partake of the Lord's Supper without your sins being forgiven and things being right in your heart. In fact, he said, many are sick because they take it unworthily. If there's something in your heart, bitterness, anger, pride, pornography, jealousy, whatever it may the Holy Spirit call it to your heart and you come and do business with God. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for ordaining and setting up the local ecclesia, the church. And we pray now that your will would be done. And God, we ask you to continue your blessings on Worth Baptist Church. Thank you for its history, and we thank you in advance, Lord, if we cooperate with you, that the future is great and that many are going to be saved and you'll be glorified, and all the glory does belong to you. Help us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.